Susan Williamson. I'm interviewing Dick Waddell on March 10th, 1993.
I ignore that machine.
I think the first question I have for you is probably having to do with our church, since that's where I know you from, is the chapel on the base. And you've been going there ever since you've been in Kodiak?
Ever since the wife and I. We were married here. We weren't married at the base chapel, but we started going there like after we were married. Well, almost 25 years
now. Okay. Do you know much about the church itself? How long it's been on the base?
Well, I know a little bit about it. It was used to be an army chapel, I believe. It was moved to that location shortly after the end of the war, where it now serves as both Protestant and Catholic service. And it's never had much of a renovation. It's pretty much, other than just coats of paint and a few improvements in the sound system, it's still the same old building, basically structure as it was when it first was built. It's been an awful lot of chaplains come and go, and there's not a time to be in there.
Huh. Were you in the Coast Guard when you first got here?
No.
How was it you came to be?
When I was in a missile operation in Texas, I attended a base chapel, and some of the programs they had there at service. When I got up here, wanted to carry on with the same style we had there, and I find it interesting. I like the idea of the chaplains rotating every so many years. We always hate to see them go, but with the passing of one, we get a new chaplain with new ideas, new goals, and I like to see this.
You said missile operation.
Mm-hmm. I was in the guard unit while I was in high school. I was in the National Guard, and we had Nike missiles. We went 6 months RFA through Texas and Mexico, and then I transferred into the Air Guard.
So with the Air Guard, you came up here to Kodiak, or
no? I served my time at the Guard, and I came up to Alaska. Let's see, it was either right after school or just prior to flying some forest fires and some charter services flying down there for the airlines. I was up here earning money to.
So what year did you get here in Kodiak?
I think it was 62.
In 62, we came up here and I fished out of Saldovia. We fished shrimp. We dug up shrimp out of Saldovia and came down to Kodiak, two-headed. Went into Old Harbor. Santa Flavia, Tanner was there, of course Kodiak, and we took a long run to Pennsylvania. We didn't live year round that time. We fished 6 months out of Pennsylvania. And that's basically how I wound up in Alaska. I was working for an electronics company, and her mother was one of the group that I was in charge of, and it was in computers, and she invited us all to her house for some kind of summer picnic or something like that. And it was right during the time of Gold Cup races, and I didn't want to miss those, so I stayed and watched the Gold Cup races, and then I went over to their house. Well, by that time, everybody had come to the party and gone. Still a few things left to eat, so I stayed, and then we met her mom's house. Basically, going together.
Okay. Let's see, your family. You have two children here?
Yeah, Richard and Sarah. Right now, not too good. It's all rain and miserable weather, but in the summertime, yeah, good. I'm trying to get out. Go various places one time.
Let's see. I take it you no longer fish. Right, but you had a business in town. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you had, or how long did you have the business?
I had it for around 10 years under my own name, but I've been involved in that type of business for probably 15 or 16 years.
Did you find that there's a lot of competition in that business, since there seems to be a lot of marine supply?
Oh, there was some competition. I don't think it was excessive amount of competition. We all had our own spot. I mean, everybody had their own customers. We just did our thing, and they did theirs, and we didn't really pay much attention to anybody else's.
Something I've noticed in Cody, I think, and other places too, is that some businesses come and go. Did you find that true here in Kodiak, as far as?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Start up and then go for a while, and then for whatever reason, one reason or another, they hold up and go somewhere else or do something else.
Was your business always located where it is now?
No. First year we operated was in the Napa building down on Shelton Street, and which is now currently a little Speedy Market. Yeah, liquor store and stuff like that. In the Napa building, that new Napa building. We operated out of that for 1 year, and then our parking requirements that were so much more than what they could provide. And they kept raising the rent on us also. So, not a very good staff study. We moved it to work.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Did you find it hard to get some supplies that you needed to run the business?
Oh, I don't think so. If you take into consideration money, if you had the money, it wasn't all that hard. You know, I mean, it definitely adds to the cost and the speed that you want. If you needed it real fast and that, well, it was going to cost. But if you have lots of time and pre-plan your moves, it still costs some, but not, tremendous.
Yeah.
But I can usually get most anything I needed.
Do things get here faster now than they did 10, 15 years ago?
Oh, I think so. You know, but especially with the advent of United, UPS service, Federal Express, and you got Northern Air Cargo, and the advent of all the freight forwarders, and Sealand has larger and faster ships, and of course now they're all containerized. So, 5-6 days from here in Seattle is
too. What are your plans now for your business? Your goals?
I'm not just sure what we'll wind up doing yet. We're a lot of them on
these
things. I'd rather not take
Kodiak itself. What are some good memories you have of Kodiak?
I think the earlier memories of Kodiak was it was sure a lot happier town earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was, when I first started coming through here, sailing through here, there was still a small portion of the barter system left. Jesse at Crafts had their store more or less aligned with Main Street there. There was still a few things being exchanged, fur and a few things for money. Those that had money, it wasn't uncommon for them to leave large sums with certain establishments, either a bar or with Crafts or with somebody that could lock it up, and then they'd go off on a big party. And no matter how drunk they got and they wanted to come back for more money, most of the time they were told, you told me you couldn't have any more money than that. And that's where it stopped. Once in a while, they give them some more money. Otherwise, they'd just take and party it all up till it was gone, and then they had no money to do anything with that. The town was a lot looser in that respect. We didn't have the amount of cannery processors at that time. I think we had maybe four. And nobody ever thought about locking your cars or your houses. It was just something that...
Just leave anything in the back of your truck.
Yeah.
You didn't
have to worry about anything being stolen.
Interesting. Do you have any bad memories of Kodiak?
Oh, I don't really think so. I don't have very many bad memories of much of anything, really. No. No,
some good changes in Kodiak. You talked about it doesn't seem quite as close now.
Any good changes?
Yeah, what are some good changes that you've seen?
Good changes. Well, I've seen a lot of changes. I'm not sure how many good ones are in there. Well, let's see. The Sealand Dock, that area is pretty good. That Pier 2, that's a good change. Sewer and water treatment plant.
Land opening up the house.
Yeah, that's a pretty good change. Let's see.
The reason why I say land opening up the house is because it was, when we first got here, you couldn't get a place. And it wasn't very much for sale.
Yeah.
And it was very hard to find rent.
Would be the early 60s.
No, she got up here 68, yeah. I was up here.
April 29th, 1968. Came on a constellation.
Yep, P&A.
You see changes in the airport.
Yeah, that's a change in
the
itself.
Third airport type.
Yeah.
Two.
Right there where the end of the runway is right now, just to, as you look down the runway from the road, just to the right where they have the Fish Hall airplane park, that was the terminal. The little shed wasn't much bigger than this house. And if you wanted your bags, they were outside, whether it was snowing, raining, blowing. If you wanted them there, they were outside in, on a cart. One time coming in, snowing, and there was a pile of snow about as big as the building. And Rudy had his little land otter with him. And that land otter was climbing up to the top of that snow pile and just sliding down on his belly. Just up and down as fast as he could go. Rudy ran. But, and it seemed like that was more typical of the old part of the last one.
Could you tell me a little bit about your fishing experiences? You said you were fishing when you came up here.
When I came up and started fishing, dragon shrimp out of Slovakia. That would have been 62. We would fish drag shrimp there out of Kachemak Bay. And shrimp migrate with the tides in different seasons. A certain portion of their habitat, they turn green. Something that's in the water or something that they do, but they turn green and they're not acceptable as far as food product when they're that way. So we would leave Kachemak Bay and run all the way down to Kodiak. We fished in Santa Flavia, fished in Old Harbor, fished two-headed. Back into Kodiak and get fuel and take right off again. We from Saldovia to the Barren Islands. That can be a real nasty, nasty trip to the Barrens and the Tigris. And our product, we didn't have anything but ice, so we could only carry in 4 days. After that, the product would start going downhill real rapid because of the heat buildup. And when I first started fishing here, there was only a handful of boats, and we never had codes. Canary would call us on the radio and wonder how much we had to tell them. And we fished 12 months out of the year. Pretty soon we had a few more boats and codes to tell the cannery what kind of a load we were carrying. And then a few more boats, and the season started getting shorter. Until like right now, there is no shrimp season. It's all fished out.
It went from 12 months to 10 months, and then from 10 months to 6 months, and then it disappeared.
With the advent of the decline of fisheries in crab stock and other species, those boats would put on dry gear and jump in on shrimp fisheries. So a lot of the boats were dual fisheries, where they would fish crab for a while, shrimp for a while, halibut for a while, and salmon for a while. So it made an awful lot of effort just on all of the species. So pretty soon the shrimp fisheries was a thing of the past.
We knew all the boats by just on the horizon by just looking at their silhouettes.
That's not
a question. That few boats.
Mm-hmm.
And you also with the wooden fleet, like the wooden
direction. Most boats.
Fender boats.
It's a shipyard. It's the name of the shipyard.
That would be like your Dusk and your Dawn.
The first Bender double drag rupture was Chet Peterson on the City Challenge.
It was
big. We always fished with one net up stern on a reel. That's a traditional. And down there, they depleted their shrimp market. Their fisheries a long time ago. So they put outriggers and then they put a net on each outrigger. So one boat fished two nets, $4, two nets. And where we would tow for hour, hour and a half on the Gulf, it wasn't uncommon to tow for 8, 10, 12, 14 hours, just trying to get enough shrimp in the nets to make some kind of a trip. All kinds of apprehension about a double rig crawler up here in these rock piles. But they proved that to be pretty successful.
Tell them how much we made and tell them per pound.
We were getting 4 cents a pound.
That was high money.
No.
4 cents a pound and a lot of work.
Yeah.
And they were very picky in those days. It had to be really spotless, not a lot of junk fish in it. We had to pick that fish out ourselves when we were at sea. Now I think it's anything that you can.
We paid 4 cents a pound. And automatic deduction of 5% for ice.
Oh, they went down their list of what they're going to deduct.
And they would hire 3 or 4 girls to pick fish, and couldn't pick your load clean enough to suit them with those 3 or 4 girls, they would hire more girls that you paid for. And all of this, 5% of your total trip was deducted for ice. Plus, you paid for the extra help. And if it got to be too much, you take and dump your load. They wouldn't accept it. So was a lot of work, but not much money.
Yeah. Was it dangerous work fishing?
Oh, fishing is always inherently dangerous. Where you're fishing up here, due to our weather and loads and everything.
That's how clean our shrimp was. You don't see too much fish there.
No.
Wow. That's a good move.
And this was when our boat was Pacific Pearl, and it, in those days that was a pretty big boat. I think this is Saldovia, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In those days, it isn't anymore.
Is that a bad change or a good change?
What's that?
The boats.
It's just a sign of the time. It's just, you know, they head sound.
Oh, that's a good change. These old wooden boats, they can't last forever.
Our ice box was really an ice box. When we had that food, we had to put ice in there and put our food in there. You know, 200 gallon tank for water. That's all you had for the trip, but you weren't gone that long. It wasn't meant to be gone very long.
We usually tie up the cannery at night time, but if there was one around, then we could take water in. Everybody, you know, you just don't use that much water. Not 4 or 5 days. That's what we're supposed to be gone. A lot of times we get weather out, you know, and have to restock. Sometimes they can smell you.
So there weren't a lot of Coast Guard regulations then?
Not even fishing
game? No.
Fishing game came later.
There wasn't Coast Guard survival suits and e-perbs and
we didn't have anything.
Things like that. They were hardly even thought of, let alone mandatory. Like right now they're mandatory to carry placards that say this and say that. Rules and laws around the books now. Nuisance, you know, now it's really highly
Remember when we got too close to the rocks and we picked up the bigger ferns and stuff? And gosh, we picked them out for ourselves and kept them. But now they send pots down to us. Those were just extras, not, you know, we didn't get extra money or anything. We just ate them ourselves. And those were really, I think the restaurants like to buy them for us. You know, talking about the ponds, where you get, we just sold the little tiny pinks. You know, what you get in a can. Salads. You remember about the earthquake and the tidal wave in 64?
Well, I was in Minnesota at the time of the tidal wave. I was over in Philadelphia. And it was at 5:30 in the evening. And we had just sat down for evening dinner. The old timers Tennyson's, Frank Tennyson, Norm Erson, Johnson, George and Barbara Johnson, myself, Sutherland's. There was a bunch of us that were there up in the woods. And then it seems like after everything kind of settled, well, we all migrated down to Kodiak. Spagnuolo, Spray.
Mm-hmm. He's still here, right?
Yeah, right. Spagnuolo.
The Tennysons are still here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, whether they're actually living. Well,
you know,
Irons, for Pete's sake, our next door neighbor. Claire was there.
Yeah, this is
Claire and Betty.
Out.
Yeah.
Mom and Dad are there.
Yeah.
Claire.
And,
right?
Dottie. Dottie.
They're all from there.
Yeah.
Basically, that was the demise of Seldovia.
Yeah.
It pretty much went. Seldovia went down and kind of almost disappeared.
Actually, when you said Seldovia went down, it had settled. It sunk about 5 feet. You see, our retorts in the cannery, we were canning salmon. After the tidal wave, the retort would be, the bottom of it would be in water. Ocean. And we couldn't cook anything because you can't heat the whole ocean. You have to wait till the tide is gone. Then you can cook in that. So there would be certain periods of time that we couldn't operate. And we have to stack the cans to be cooked on one side. So when the tide went out,
she needs to know that Pacific Pearl Cannery, that's where the Sutherlands come in. And you and the Sutherlands brought a ship down here and that's,
mm-hmm.
You fixed it up and that was Pacific Pearl Cannery, so it was Sutherland's Cannery and Pacific Pearl. Then it went to Went and Sutherland went.
Yeah.
And then Lake Kinnear, who his family is, his children are still here,
yeah.
But he's moved off, but it was Sutherland and Went, then it was Sutherland and Kinnear bought the Sutherland's,
yeah.
Right? So it was Kinnear and Went, and then it just
went into Del Monte.
And then there was no name on it anymore. And then they all
ISA.
Yeah. And then the Koreans bought it. But those are all family names that their children are still here and their grandchildren are still here. They all came down.
I didn't,
Erson
really,
is
I
here.
Didn't really,
his
I really
children,
didn't seem
his
to know much about what Kodiak other than what we heard on the radio. And talking with the people around here, they had it a lot worse here than we did. They, you know, they had the actual wave come through here.
May I say, though, that anytime anything shakes around here, he's very upset and nervous and runs for the door. Understandable. He saw the wreckage, you know, he did see all that, the devastation. I came when it started renewing, the urban renewal came in. That was almost as bad as the earthquake.
How long do you think it took to get Kodiak back on its feet?
Years, wasn't it?
Well, as far as the bars were concerned, not very long. They opened up tents right there. Where Corky's harbor master is, there was several. I think the Mecca had a tent, and the B&B had a tent. They were in operation. I think they probably missed one or two shifts, and they were back in business again. But as far as the whole town goes, they took them probably a couple of years. Plotted and planned, and waterways and utilities. They did do pretty good getting power and all that back right away, but the next installation, step two of their project, we did a little more planning than the original. That's why some of the roads and things are so screwed up now. Nobody ever planned, you know, for anything. And those houses up on the hills and that are still there.
That was the original.
But
a lot of the old ones.
But urban renewal came along, they tried to have a little form of site planning. But it did, it took them a couple of years to kind of get the initial phase of things done.
I remember when that main road where the Harbor Master's on, where the bathroom is now, do you know where that?
Mm-hmm.
That used to be a building that was up above the ground, you know, and it had a boardwalk for a sidewalk up there, and that was the bakery, which smelled heavenly, and the bank. It was first, and it was in an old wooden building, so you had your bakery and your bank side by side in the same building, just, and it was on a boardwalk. Oh, wow, that smelled good. But they tore that down.
Mm-hmm. That was still part of the old regime.
Changes you'd like to see Kodiak make?
Any changes you'd like to see make?
On tape?
Well,
I don't have to type it up.
I think there's enough changes being made for us and by us and to us. Whatever I would think of, if I waited 15 minutes, it'll probably come along. They're talking about changes in everything we do, roads, assessments. Some of the changes are necessary for one reason or another. But
they don't take the majority vote here. They do what they want. That's the hardship of it all. You know, it takes a few to kind of run over the majority here.
There's a lot of changes going on, and there's going to be a lot more changes going on. They try to do what's right and proper. They've come a long ways. I mean, they've got a fair engineering group for projects. They have rules and regulations for permitted areas. Those basic things are at least a step in the right direction. Whereas before, if you wanted a porch on your roof, right, you'd go up there and put a porch on your roof.